It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. The Sports Show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray. Maggie is on a well-deserved vacation. I think her vacation has been a bit stressful. She got caught up in all that travel stuff last week when there was a big tech outage.
And I saw this morning that Delta still has not, like, they haven't had a flight for 4 days. What are they doing?
Oh, I did not know that.
How
that's
did we
terrible.
Get fixed by Friday morning, but Delta is still offline?
Oh, that's terrible. I did see a lot of college football reporters were flying around the country for conference media days. They're all stuck and not getting to Big Ten,
and
et cetera.
People couldn't get out of Phoenix after the WNBA All-Star game, apparently, too.
Oh, that's the worst. I'll tell you, one guy who has... probably flies private at this point. Aaron Rodgers, who is the ultimate celebrity golf guy, you might not know that about him, but one of the things with the ayahuasca, all that, the guy never, ever misses a big celebrity golf tournament. Loves golf.
Minicamp,
Minicamp.
Tahoe, I'm there.
Yeah, so he was at Tahoe, and he was on the Part of My Take podcast from Barstool Sports, and they have a long-running joke because Big Cat, who hosts the podcast, is a big Bears fan, and he said that Aaron Rodgers should be arrested, hates him. And Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, played into it. And he was on the show, and I think it because of that format, he was a little more relaxed, Bogus. I feel like you got some insight into Aaron Rodgers, and he got into his minicamp, let's call it minicamp, absence, and kind of explained why he thought it was not a big deal that he was not at the last, quote-unquote, minicamp.
There used to be a real thing called minicamp, where it was, you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was 5 practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 2 practices on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. Now it's not minicamp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want to say, this is the minicamp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks.
Bogus, can you translate this into human language here?
I can't. I feel like that is a distinction Aaron Rodgers is not allowed to make. I'm confused by this, and your buddies did call him jokingly after the fact that it's not like he's ever argued over the semantics of a word before, and that's a hat tip to the, what was the direct quote? I'm immunized. But what did he say before it? Like, I'm not immunized. Like, it was a weird play on words. It's still a mandatory mini camp. I don't care what you're doing. It's arts and crafts. You could be, I don't care. It's still a mandatory mini camp. And as lame as that might be, and while I don't think it matters that he missed those 2 workouts for football reasons, like that, the word mandatory is the word here. And he doesn't even remotely take responsibility, give an explanation why he couldn't just leave for Egypt 36 hours later.
All right, well, let's hear more from Aaron Rodgers. I think this will explain it, Bogus.
An OTA schedule. That's how it's, words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a minicamp when it was really 2 OTA days.
Right. Interesting.
I came to the first 10.
Right. It's so, math. That's just math. I mean, he's hitting you over the head with numbers. What are you going
to
do?
I came to 10 to 12. So missed two that aren't mandatory. Mm-hmm, like, this was the one. And again, none of this criticism leads me to say this has any effect on the Jets on the field. It doesn't. And I know the play, his teammates didn't care. I just don't understand. Again, though, we're in this realm where he wants us to believe that everything's okay because he understands things in a better way than we all do. And I refuse to accept that. It's mandatory. You were supposed to be there. You didn't tell anybody beforehand that you weren't coming there. And for whatever reason, your head coach got up there like a dope and either didn't defend mm-hmm. you or defended you poorly or was pissed that you actually weren't there. It was a story he created that he didn't have to create, again, on the heels of, we got to stop with the distractions.
So you don't think this is going to have an impact? And not the specific thing, but all these little Aaron Rodgers-isms, let's call them that, the things where he says, like, it's got to be, I don't want to see anyone around the building doing stuff that it's not about football, and then proceed to do a bunch of things that are not about football. Eventually, do all these little things add up and worry you as a Jets fan, if you were a Jets fan?
Only because, like, with every other polarizing person, as long as he plays well, everything is fine. If he doesn't play well, that's what opens up the door to criticism.
Right, but
from inside and out.
But do these kind of things impact the team in the sense him missing this minicamp or him not being accountable? Like, because the quarterback is the leader. Do you buy into that? Oh, he's got to act like a leader at all times.
I do, but like too many of them said it's not a big deal that he missed the mandatory minicamp. I guess I usually like to defer to just incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
When Maggie dips into conspiracy theories and whatever, a lot of times the reason for things that happen that are confusing is because people are just bad at their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets are as bad at their job as anybody has ever been in the history of jobs. So it might just be that Robert Saleh had a bad moment trying to downplay this Aaron Rodgers thing. But part of me thinks like they were trying until the last minute to get him to come to minicamp. And he still wouldn't.
Okay.
And that's why Saleh was a little bit testy that first day where they didn't excuse it and he didn't really explain it well. But I don't think any of these things in the end really matter as long as he plays well, and I expect him to play well. And also none of them run the risk of him not being on the field. Like some guys that misbehave, like Ja Morant, like the stuff that Ja does can get him kicked off the floor for 25, 50, a full season of games. That's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers saying dumb things, ignorant things, offensive things, however you feel about them, mm-hmm. it might get him to 92 on a top 100 athlete of the century list, but it's not going to lead to Jet or NFL punishment where he's actually going to cost you things by not being on the field. He doesn't live in that world yet.
I totally agree. You're right. There are, and even those things, a lot of times teams have criminal issues and the guy's on the field and they make a huge impact anyway.
Right.
I mean, in fact, listen, the great teams tend to draft quote unquote low character guys. What do you think, Bill Belichick? You think he cared about character 1 second? You think he cared about Aaron Hernandez falling in the fourth round because everybody knew he was a problem? That was great for Bill Belichick. Who is the current dynasty in the NFL?
The Chiefs.
And do they care at all?
Not even
give one thought to character?
Not even a little bit.
Tyreek Hill falls to the fifth round. Jump on him. Rashee Rice, who everyone knows was a first-round talent, falls to the second round. Do they care? No.
Nope.
So, and Aaron Rodgers is not in that realm. I think the key, and I'm sure you agree with this, the key is how does his leg respond in real action? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to play 17 games?
And are the guys that they've signed to protect him going to do their job as well? Obviously, the Achilles is kind of like a non-contact thing, but he also just can't take a beating at 40-plus years old.
Right. Well, they brought in 3 veteran linemen, a little older, the guys, but I think they actually took a couple steps that are going to help him improve. This doesn't bother me. It does. I mean, it bothers me as a fan of the English language, what he's trying to do here, but it doesn't bother me. I'm not going to ding or bet under on the team win total for the Jets because of this. In fact, it didn't surprise me at all. It feels like kind of business as usual with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were going to win the AFC East last year because of him, and I think that they can win the AFC East this year because of him.
Ooh,
that's in a counterpoint on the Rodgers thing real quick.
Yeah, please.
Because I think you guys are making great points that it seems unlikely that this would matter in terms of Jets wins and losses.
Yep.
But I will say, we saw a lot of reporting over the course of last summer going into the season that the Packers felt like these kind of things from Aaron Rodgers impacted his ability to play. Like he did not play great in his last season in Green Bay. And when they did the postmortem on what happened, they felt like that last season with the Packers, he wasn't as locked in as he needed to be. And that led to them struggling and not making the playoffs over the course of that season his last year in Green Bay. So I asked you guys, is there any chance that this does have some correlation? Because his last team that he played with, they thought that there was a correlation between these type of antics of missing OTAs, not locking in with teammates, being on his own world and doing his own thing. They thought that that did impact wins and losses, and that did impact him on the field. And that's why they were so willing to move on.
Who's
the Packers? The Packers.
Like, what? Who said it? I mean, that team stunk. They had a bunch of rookie wide receivers. Like, I don't care.
You can't say that team stunk because then they put in an inexperienced quarterback the next season with a lot of the same guys that were playing with Aaron Rodgers before. And guess what? They made the playoffs and won a game and almost beat the 49ers. So they clearly weren't that terrible.
All the young players developed. Like, they were all, honestly.
And you know why they didn't develop? And you know why they got blamed?
Because Romeo Doubs was the fourth-round pick who came out of nowhere. It was just learning the system.
But Pearl, part of it was because they did not have the same kind of relationship and the same kind of time with Aaron Rodgers. This is what, again, the Packers have been saying. I'm not making something up.
No.
This is something that they blamed Aaron Rodgers for, whether it's fair or unfair.
Wait, who's that? Did Matt LaFleur ever come out and say that?
Yeah, I think that's what because I was going to ask you the same question. I think that Perloff meant which Packers, because our point was that the players don't care about Rodgers not being at mandatory minicamp, the Jet players. So if Brian Gutekunst thought that Rodgers' lack of commitment was an issue, that's different than the locker room disliking him. And I don't think there's been any hint that either locker room didn't like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, my thing is that it's not necessarily a locker room thing. It doesn't have to necessarily be the players could feel a certain way. It doesn't mean that how they feel is wrong, right or wrong. I think the Packers, their brass, again, this has just been reporting at that time, was that they felt like these things started to mount up, and they felt like at the end of the day he wasn't as locked into football as he needed to be. And it was because of things that we're seeing him do with the Jets, which is going to Egypt and trying to do these word gymnastics. Like, these things wore on the Packers, and they felt like that was a reason why they struggled and why they were willing to move on. So when we talk about how that impacts the Jets this season, I just think that's something to point out. His last team thought that this stuff did matter.
You keep saying that. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Show me the quote from Goody or LaFleur.
You keep saying show me a quote.
You keep saying they said. I know the reporters hate Rodgers. That's obvious. But I'm just saying.
They're saying inside. They're not saying this is my opinion. This is not Skip Bayless saying this is my opinion. I'm saying that there's been reporting from inside Packers brass. If you don't want to believe it, that's another story. But there definitely has been, and I think there may still be, reporting from Packers brass about that they thought this stuff mattered.
I think even Tyler Dunn has written about this. Yes.
Right, I'm not making that up.
Yeah, no, you're not making it up.
That team was not a good Packers team around him. I mean, they were young and trying to figure out. A lot of those guys did not have a full training camp. I think there was a lot of times where he had two wide receivers on the outside who were both rookies.
So, I mean, that's why we don't know the actual answer about it, because they both were set up to prove their points. He could look around and go, and I forget what the note was of not using a first round pick on a wide receiver or an offensive player for however many years in a row. Like, he could point and look around and go, who are all these guys?
Yeah.
But then he didn't go to OTAs. He didn't go to 10 of the 12 or 8 of the 12. Like, he started to not be around, which fuels the team's side of the divorce, is that he was not committed the way he used to be. So I don't know if they're ever going to have the right answer. Also, all of those things might have been true. Like, he wasn't there, so he missed time to develop, but he needed that time because they kept shuffling in all of these babies to catch passes from him.
Anyway, let's not litigate the Packers, right?
The Packers thing had to end. And
but let me ask you this. So, EJ, the same distractions are still happening with Aaron Rodgers. Are you inclined to bet the under on the Jets because of it? Because if it affected the Packers, shouldn't it affect the Jets too? Or do you believe he's more dedicated now, despite these quotes we just heard?
I think he is dedicated to do it his way. And at times, his way has not necessarily been the best way for everybody else. But I do think he has a fire under his butt in a way that is different than past years. So I think he'll be fine as long as they protect him. But I think that's a big if.
So in other words,
the Jets offensive line is a big problem. But again, I will go back to, like, the one thing that worries me is the last time I saw Aaron Rodgers on the field, he just didn't play that well. Like, and we can make every excuse in the world about why he didn't play well, but he didn't. So, I mean, his QBR was in Zach Wilson, like, territory. So
you're down. So he's, commit to this? Are you down on the Jets? You think because
they're my favorite team, so I'm always going to try to root for the Jets.
You could be objective here. I mean, obviously, I know. You bet.
Like, no, of course. I mean, I think that this is a weaker division than expected. Mm-hmm. So I think the Bills take a step back. I think the Dolphins probably take a little bit of a step back. I think this is a competitive division. I don't think that any of these teams in this division are legit Super Bowl contenders. I think if we're looking for one mm-hmm. of these teams, including the Chiefs, that feels unrealistic. Do I think the Jets make a playoffs? Sure, and I'd be happy with that. I think some of the problems have been expectations. It's been Super Bowl or bust. That shouldn't have been the case last year.
Okay.
It should be about getting to the playoffs and building something for next season.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is a distraction? Yes or no?
Yes, 100%. I've never waved on that.
Okay. I just feel like it's weird. Like, he's a distraction now, but there's still going to be a playoff team, and he was bad in Green Bay. I lean with Bogus. I think the distraction part is a little overrated when it comes to football.
I mean, go back and watch Hard Knocks from last summer, and every Jet is basically fainting at his feet. Like, I can't... Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe he's here. Did you see that spiral? Did you see that throw? So he appears to be... he annoys me from a distance. There has to be, just by human nature, there have to be guys in that locker room that are indifferent to him, that don't like him, that roll their eyes at him. They might be deeply offended by some things he said, but it probably takes time for him to really have a negative effect. If the Green Bay, end of the Green Bay tenure, all those whispers are true, the Jets aren't there yet. The Jets are still in the honeymoon phase. The added bonus, they're still waiting to have him for the first time. So, like, we get to week one, week two, week three, he stays healthy and he's playing well. This is going to be nothing but love. No distractions.
Yeah, the Jets win total is 9.5. I'm betting over on that.
I bet the over on that.
Yeah, I'm definitely betting the over on that. I mean, obviously, coming off an Achilles. Achilles are weird, but Dan Marino came off an Achilles and was just fine the next year. So I have faith in Rodgers. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Diana Russini. I'm curious to hear her thoughts. She knows the Rodgers situation well. Specifically, she's going to address Saquon Barkley, was on her podcast saying some interesting things about the Giants. So that should be a lot of fun. We'll also update our sitcom bracket. Man, it's getting real.
Yeah.
It's getting real.
Rodgers, by the way, checked into Jets training camp this morning. I think he's wearing an Egyptian-themed shirt
to keep the
joke going.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Next, we will get back into Team USA basketball for a moment. Is LeBron James doing too much? I think so. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Aggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. A lot going on here today. You could go to our X feed at Maggie and Perl, vote on the sitcom bracket. You can watch us on Infinity Sports Network. Not as good looking today. Andrew Bogus and I are sitting here instead of Maggie. I'm not referring to you, Bogus. You are plenty handsome.
No, you know what? I don't like this this Zoom camera being on.
Yeah.
It's not, sitting terribly. My fat's falling
over
my shorts.
Oh, my posture is awful. Yes.
No thanks.
No, I think it's fun. I enjoy watching the show. It's pretty good on YouTube. You get to see...
good on YouTube, like as if it's not that good on the radio. Like somehow
it's
different.
Good. Oh, it's great on the radio, too. We love our affiliates. If you do tune into YouTube, you'll see Peter Schwartz is coming on next. I don't think the YouTube camera sort of translate how big a human being he is. Do you think so, Bogus?
Pass.
No, I mean, I'm not big, like, overweight. I mean, like, he's just
I am overweight. There's no question about it.
Not too bad, though.
It's better than it was under doctor's orders. Yeah, it's better.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wait, what are you talking about, years ago or recently?
Well, it's been a long journey, Perloff. It's been a long journey.
So you're wearing a 24 Jets jersey, Revis.
Yes, yes.
Why aren't you wearing a Klecko jersey or some bigger guy or Gastineau?
I'm wearing this one because yesterday the Jets announced that they're bringing these back for one game this year.
That's right. The classic uniform
for one game.
But I feel
against Maggie's Buffalo Bills.
A quick cornerback and you do not exactly. Why'd you buy a Revis jersey?
I bought this jersey during his first stint with the Jets when there were starting to be rumors that he was going to be traded.
Okay.
So Modell's, may it rest in peace, marked down the Revis jerseys to like $10.
I knew there'd be a story.
Oh my gosh.
I bought the jersey for $10. They had it in my size. And I said, it's a throwback. I'll hang it up. Maybe one day he'll be in the Hall of Fame as a Jet and I'll have the jersey. And less than 2 years later, he was back with the Jets.
If I may ask a question as a follow-up,
yes.
As a more established Peter Schwartz fan than you,
yeah.
Have you ever just bought a jersey? I feel like every jersey you own has a story of trade, discount, infamously, you self-edited a jersey into a Brett Favre Jets jersey.
Yes.
Have you ever just gone in and said, this guy's good, full price, take my money,
Wayne I want Corbett, the
jersey? Okay.
Kevin Mawai.
Okay.
Joe Namath.
Okay.
There's been a few, yeah.
Wait, but you're
nobody in the new millennium, basically.
That's like EJ. I'm surprised you didn't buy just when Revis was Revis Island, why you wouldn't just have bought a Revis jersey.
Well, it's not always that easy to find them in my size.
Okay.
You know?
Mm. Hey, let me ask about this Favre jersey. So you took an existing jersey.
It was a Glenn Foley. My wife actually did it. It was a Glenn Foley.
One of the greatest stories ever told.
Ridiculous.
That was a full price. That was a full price.
Full price for Glenn Foley.
Yeah, yeah, but because he was a starting quarterback at that point.
This was 2009. How do you guys know this story? You guys weren't all together then.
We go back a little further.
This story's been told. This story is an all-timer.
Okay.
We go back to prior employers.
Yeah.
So I had a Glenn Foley jersey, and then the Jets get Brett Favre, and the jerseys weren't out yet. So my wife was able to change it to Favre.
Hmm.
And there was a picture of me with my son Bradley on my shoulders walking into the first Jet practice for Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
And Bradley is on my shoulders, and a photographer that was there took a picture, and somehow there it was in the Daily News the next day.
Wow. Have you ever been photographed? And I think maybe I'm actually going on some knowledge here. At the NFL draft?
Yes.
I was live.
There was not photographed.
I
was live on video while the Jets were making the pick, and you saw me booing the pick.
On ESPN?
On ESPN. Johnny Mitchell.
What year was that?
So that is 1992?
That's amazing.
What you're slowly going to learn is that Peter has a Forrest Gump-like ability to be at historical events.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of guys in this building have been filmed at NFL drafts. I know Gio has. Gio, Boomer and Gio, is a big Vikings fan. Have you ever seen him at the draft? It's amazing.
Gio?
Yeah.
No, I never saw him at the draft.
Oh, it's great. I got to find the video. I'm 99% sure.
They show my clip every year when the Jets are getting ready to pick.
And
if people want to go to YouTube, there's like a YouTube video, Jets Draft Blunders, and it's there for all to see.
There's a guy, I used to work with him at Sports Illustrated named Tony Pauline. He's a noted draft expert. I think he's with Pro Football Network now. He's a Jets fan, and there's a draft where he's shredding the Jets draft as a fan in 1996, and then later he becomes a writer. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I've never seen it. 1996. Yeah. Who did they screw up to in 1996?
I have no idea.
There's been so many.
That was Keyshawn, right? They didn't like the Keyshawn pick?
It could have been that. I just remember
that was actually a good one.
They killed the Virginia linebacker, Loggeman, right?
Loggeman.
That was a famous one. Yeah, and you know, I'm an Eagles fan. We famously booed the Donovan McNabb pick because everybody wanted Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful at the NFL draft.
1983 NFL draft.
That would scare me.
At that time.
Being on camera and being interviewed and be like railing against a pick, and then that person turns out to be the next.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers or whatever.
I was right when I booed Johnny Mitchell. I was right. I was proven to be right. But the 1983 NFL draft, so at that point, it's in the morning. It's weekday morning. It wasn't the big deal that it is now.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to stay home from school because I was convinced that the Jets had a shot at getting Dan Marino.
Which
so
they did.
I think, well, they did, right? Exactly. So here it is. I convinced my mother that I'm not feeling good. I'm like, I just
did you put the thermometer up against the light bulb?
I'm like, I need the day off from school. She agrees. And so, of course, I sit there in my room watching the NFL draft, and the Jets come up, and Marino is on the board, and I'm so excited that the Jets are getting Dan Marino. And then I wound up getting sick anyway because they drafted Ken O'Brien, who turned out to be an okay quarterback for them, but we could have had Dan Marino. But then Dan Marino would never have been Dan Marino if he got picked by the Jets.
Well, I don't know. He was pretty good. The Jets took O'Brien at 24.
Yeah.
So Dallas Cowboys picked Jim Jeffcoat at 23. A young Peter Schwartz is sitting there. They're on the clock. You probably could taste Marino coming to the Jets.
This is the best decision I've ever made, is lying to my mother that I'm not feeling good and I'm home and the Jets are going to have Dan Marino. Now, the thing I'm worried about is, how do I not be excited? Like, normally when these things have happened when I was a kid, the things that excite me as a sports fan, I would cause a little bit of havoc at home. I have to be quiet about this. And then I was just like, then I really felt bad. I really felt sick to myself.
What Jet jersey were you wearing at home?
Yeah. No, I was still in, like, you
Jet
know,
PJs?
Pajamas. I didn't have Jet. I'm not Mike Greenberg. I didn't have Freeman McNeil pajamas.
You didn't have Jet sheets? I had sheets that had all the baseball logos on them.
No, I never had those.
Oh,
one of my favorite things is looking back at drafts and thinking who my team should have taken. By the way, so the Jets took Ken O'Brien 24, 27 was Marino, 28 was Daryl Green, Hall of Fame cornerback, could have had him.
Yeah.
Then 32 was Henry Ellard, who was great receiver. Leonard Marshall, 32.
Who wound up being a Jet at some point also.
Yeah, you screwed up. Yeah. Daryl Talley, of course, one of
them. I saw Leonard Marshall at the Arena Bowl the other day.
Was he just shopping, or?
No, he was there.
Buying M&M's?
Invited guest.
He was at the M&M store.
Roger Craig went in the second round of that draft. I mean, that was a draft.
How about the original Vernon the right Maxwell draft. Leading off round two?
I don't remember Vernon Maxwell.
I only remember him as a Rocket.
Yeah, of course. Charles Mann, I think, was a really good player later. Oh, my gosh. You guys missed on a million guys.
Oh, they missed on a million guys. My whole life they've missed on guys.
That might have been I think that's the best draft ever.
Yeah, there's a good argument for that.
They were worried that Anthony Munoz had injury concerns. They didn't take him either.
You know what people don't talk about enough? And this is a Jets thing I think about a lot.
Yeah.
2017, I believe, the draft. For some reason, and I wonder about this, they picked Jamal Adams 6, and then Patrick Mahomes went 10, and Deshaun Watson 12.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't they in the quarterback game at that point?
The Jets. It's a very simple answer to the question.
I remember
why
that draft
would you even
so
ask that question? They're the Jets. They screw everything up.
But there was no... Everyone's like, Jamal Adams was the smartest pick. Everybody loved that pick. Even 3 years in, they loved that pick.
Well, he was a good player at first. It was then he decided really quickly that he didn't want to be a Jet. And that's when he started being a malcontent.
I think there was some scar tissue, too, from the Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith era. And I think that there may have been some fear to drafting another quarterback high.
I don't even know if they scouted Patrick Mahomes. And maybe Diana Rossini's coming on. Yeah, so Mahomes went 10. I look at that draft. With Jamal Adams 6, Mike Williams, who is now a Jet, the wide receiver at 7, McCaffrey at 8. You could have used that guy, too.
I'm just convinced any of these guys, that even if the Jets took them, they would not have turned out to be the player that they are.
Now they have. The number 13 pick was Hassan Reddick, who is now a Jet. So eventually, a lot of these guys do come back to New York. I don't even know how we got to this Jets draft conversation.
You asked me about the jersey. Jets.
I know, but I didn't mean let's do a deep dive on the Jets mistakes.
Do I have to hear that numbskull's voice again?
We only have 4 hours. To do all the Jets draft mistakes would take too long. Let's go to some sports updates.
Yeah,
we'll
try and breeze through this. We'll begin with baseball. We'll start in New York, where the Yankees played home run derby against the Rays.
And he swings and drives it deep into right field, and it is gone! A home run onto the porch! A laser shot off the bat of Juan Soto! We continue to watch greatness from the sensational Juan. A three-run jack into the porch in right, and the Yankees are ahead 9-1.
Justin Shackle on Yankees Radio. Juan Soto, 2 of the Yankees' 5 home runs and a 9-1 win over the Rays to salvage a split of the 4-game series.
I have the numbers on how long it took Juan Soto to get around the bases. That, according to ESPN, was 37.7 seconds.
The first one or the second one? The first one.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, the second one I think he ran around pretty quickly. The first one he styled.
Yeah, the first one was the message sent to the Rays.
So this was the longest in this season by several seconds. So I was actually thinking about it. I understand they're going back and forth with these long. Is that Juan Soto? I don't know much about Juan Soto's personalities. Is he a showboat, or is this just a rivalry between these two teams?
I think he's always been this.
Yeah, so this was specifically about Jose Siri taking 30 seconds to round the bases earlier in the series, but there was a game earlier this year, Mets-Yankees, where Soto hit a home run to make it, I think, 9-2 Mets. Mm-hmm. So the home run didn't do anything to the score, and he took him forever to go on the bases. So there is a little bit of, no matter what, he's taking his time, but yesterday seemed to be about the Yankees being pissed at Jose Siri for doing the same thing, I think, the day before.
I'm in the style. Sorry, go ahead, EJ.
No, I was going to say, can I also say, I will take this over throwing at people any day of the week.
Sure.
Like, that whole thing is corny. Like, a guy hits a home run and you know, showboats you want to throw at him. Like, that's lame. Like, yeah, hit a home run and then just do what the other guy did. This is way better than what we've seen, the quote-unquote old rules of baseball where you throw at the guy's head.
I'm old school. I hit a home run. I'm running around those bases. I'm not a big slow around the bases guy. I like business as usual. I'm also like Calvin Johnson. I score a touchdown. I just hand the ball to the official, like, because that's
what I do.
Act like
you've been there before.
Act like you've been there before.
Yes.
I mean, Juan Soto has been there a lot. By the way, I don't know if you have it. Bryce Harper hit a ball about 7,000 yards yesterday and ran around the bases pretty fast.
We'll get that next hour.
All right.
How about that?
Peter,
let me just
else?
Get to basketball. Former NBA point guard Jeff Teague joining the Club 520 podcast, talking about how the Bucks at time fell behind 0-2 in the NBA Finals.
Giannis' brother,
mm-hmm.
When we went down 0-2, he had COVID, so he couldn't come to the plane. That's why we went down 0-2. Giannis was messed up. Like, him and his brother, bro, they got some different kind of connection. Mm-hmm. He can't function or play if he don't see his brother. I'm being for real. It's not even real. It's different, bro. He was like, where's T.A. at? Where's T.A. at? We in the middle of the game. I'm like, bro, we in the finals, bro. Play. Like,
Whoa. Where do you want to start on this?
I don't know. I mean, they won the series, so it turned out okay.
They did. I think there's another clip that may explain how they won the series, but Jeff Teague is telling me that Giannis, one of the best players of all time, complete freak of nature, that he can't function on the court because Thanasis wasn't in his line of vision?
I guess so. I mean, maybe that's a reason that we need Bronny in L.A. I mean, look at what LeBron has done in the Olympic team since Bronny has been in the yellow and gold.
And we've made Thanasis jokes about the Bronny-LeBron connection, but Thanasis is this important?
Yes.
He's the second most important Buck?
Absolutely.
And then Teague said there was then a magical COVID recovery.
So T.A. make this magical, like, COVID recovery. I know he still had it. No way, bro. It's 14 days, bro. He's back in third. He's back. Then when he see him tunnel vision back on him, they started hooping. But his energy was like contagious. Like, he running in the locker room, COVID, everything he got, yelling, screaming. And I'm like, yeah, he matters.
I gotta go back to sleep. So, again, we're living in a world where Jeff Teague wants us to believe that Giannis can't do anything if his brother's not on the bench?
Or nearby somehow.
This is the story. That Thanasis is like Giannis' support dog?
Yeah, why are you so surprised by this? Doesn't that happen? Like,
well, I know Thanasis is on the team because of Giannis.
Right.
And every once in a while he gets to play in a game because it's that out of hand or there's that many injured Bucks.
Okay.
But to the degree that Jeff Teague is describing this relationship, I find uncomfortable. And
the only way we can figure out the right answer is they need to get rid of the NASA so we can see if there's anything to this. Like, I've heard this and I couldn't believe what I was there.
Imagine Giannis is Dwayne Shinshus until if the Nassus is not there. Imagine Giannis like can't walk, can't shoot because the Nassus isn't there. Like, EJ's right. We need this to happen. I don't know who can intervene. I don't know if Adam Silver can do this. I don't know if there's like a scientist somewhere that can run a study, but we need to get the Nassus off that roster and see what Giannis is like.
Just a little math on game two of that series. Giannis obviously could not function. He was 15 of 22 from the field.
He missed seven shots.
He had 42 points.
Didn't have 45.
Three blocks, a steal, and 12 rebounds. Man, imagine if Thanasis was there for that game.
So what you're saying,
he might have 100.
He might have
broke Chandler's record.
Giannis did put a 50-burger on them later in the series.
When Thanasis was back.
Thanasis was playing, exactly.
Yeah, 16 for 22. It seemed like he survived that.
What did he do in game one of that series without Thanasis?
Let's see. Game one. Okay, he had a tough game. He was 6 for 11, 20 points, 17 boards. So he did hit the glass.
He took 11 shots in how many minutes?
35 minutes. Let's see. Uh-huh. 5 fouls, so they had a little foul trouble.
Well, that's why, too. He couldn't focus.
Yeah, he couldn't focus. Maybe it was a quick whistle. I actually buy this. I totally buy this. That kind of thing, your brother having COVID in 2021 is a bit of a different time. Maybe that could affect you. I don't know. It's that crazy.
The one thing I didn't understand, though, was Jeff T being like, Giannis is on the court, and he's like, where's Thanasis? Where's Thanasis?
Right.
I'm like, you know where he is.
He's stole my brother.
I was in charge of keeping an eye on him today.
Now,
didn't bring him to the arena?
Didn't we learn that Thanasis is not healthy for the Olympics? Is he still going to be in Paris on the Greek bench so Giannis can see him and play well?
Tell you what, if he's not playing, he's not on that bench, fade Greece now.
Have to get him on FaceTime if he's not there. So, and three-time Grand Slam champion Andy Murray announcing he'll retire after the Paris Olympics.
Oh, wow. That means nothing to me. Okay. I thought Andy Murray left years ago.
Ouch.
I watched the Serena Williams documentary. They're airing it pretty much every night on ESPN. You guys seen that by any chance?
I have not seen that.
No, it's really good. It's fantastic. And she was good. I also watched, did anyone watch the Federer documentary on Amazon, the last 10 days of Federer's career?
No, not yet.
Didn't get that either.
Oh, okay. You guys got to catch up on your tennis documentaries. It's July.
We just got Amazon Prime. Can you get that anytime you want, or is it on certain times?
No, it's just there.
It's there. Just there. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you have time for any of these?
I put the kids down at 9 o'clock.
Put them down. There's a way to say that.
No, they're 13 and 12. You put down babies. You put babies down to sleep. You don't put down your 13-year-old daughter to sleep.
Well, I hang out with my kids until 9 o'clock. Then they go up to bed. And
you keep you stay awake?
I have to watch an hour of TV before I go to bed. I just always have.
I'm
always
like that.
I think most people are like that. So, and usually my go-to, if it's not a game, is a documentary.
So I agree. Like I fall asleep to the TV.
Yeah.
But my new thing now, since my kids don't need to be put down at night every night because they're 12 and or they're 13 and 10, they can do it themselves, is at like 8 o'clock, I go, all right, guys, dad's going to bed.
Well, I have a 2-bedroom apartment. So also there's one TV. So there are a lot of things I cannot watch because my daughter's hanging around. Like The Boys, for example, this new show on Prime, that cannot be on the TV when my 12-year-old daughter walks down and Homelander is tearing a person in half.
I don't watch it in my house at any moment. Yeah. I watch it on the train, on my iPad, so that my fellow commuters can judge what I'm watching, but not my kids, because that show is dastardly.
Okay.
Bro, you watch that on the train?
Yeah, that's a great point,
that's,
too.
Yeah. That's yeah. And there's a knack of the ticket guy to show up at the worst possible times.
Like, I watched episode 2. In episode 2, there's a sauna scene that happens. I watched that episode on the train.
Yeah.
Had my headphones on. And I still felt like everybody on the train could hear what I could hear and was watching and just judging me. I felt so disgusting.
Most recently, the guy came to check my ticket in the web weaver scene where he's nervous are evacuating front of Highlander.
It's better than the Huey web weaver scene.
That's true.
Do you guys ever watch somebody else's movie on an airplane? Like there's somebody row ahead of you. Yeah. And you can't help it. I mean, I'm sitting there 2 rows behind, weeping midair to The Notebook, and that's not even watching it.
When I was flying back from London, someone had A League of Their Own in front of me. I couldn't hear it. All I could do was watch it, but I've seen it so many times that I knew all the dialogue, all the words that were saying it. I'm like on the verge of tears, like in multiple moments of this movie. And like I'm sure people looking at me like, what is with this guy? You know, but I'm watching the movie from like 3 rows back.
We've all done it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Peter. By the way, that was Big Zoo. If you didn't see him on camera, you can watch us on Infinity Sports Network YouTube channel. In 20 minutes, we will have Diana Russini, which is kind of a shame because she's a Maggie Gray super fan. She will get the two Andrews, Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie. Lots of NFL. We will talk about the training camps that open and some of the storylines we're looking forward to next. Maggie and Perloff Show. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Andrew Bogus in for Maggie Gray, who's on vacation. So, folks, usually me and Maggie try to guess who it is. Not a ton of sports going on right now that have defensive players. We obviously have Team USA Basketball.
Yeah.
Summer League, nobody plays defense. It can't be from Summer League. Big Zoo is picking it this week. Last week, he didn't let us guess. He just read it. But I think it's going to be somebody on the men's Olympic basketball team. And I think it's going to be a surprise pick. I think Zoo went with Bam Adebayo.
Ooh, that's inspired. My Team USA pick might have been Joel Embiid having a big block yesterday.
Oh, yeah. And then he fell down, of course.
But I'm going to go even more closer to home, because I know who Zoo loves on the baseball field. And I'm going to say Harrison Bader for making a diving catch last night to help the Mets win in Miami 6-4.
Oh, jeez.
Might get him Defensive Player of the Week.
Wow. If he picked a Met, he's going to be suspended for a week from picking Defensive Player of the Week.
Well, he can't pick Isaiah Hartenstein anymore, so I don't know who else he's going to go to.
Zoo, who do you got,
Jericho
buddy?
Sims?
Well, I mean, listen, now those are both very inspired picks. I mean, Harrison Bader for the sliding catch last night. I mean, listen now. That's a heck of a, you know, heck of a job by Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously local guy, but no chance. We are going to the, not Olympics quite yet, but the international pool of basketball friendlies. We are going with the USA. And unfortunately, Bogey, you had it in the palm of your hand and you tossed it to the side. Joel Embiid with that block towards the end of
the game.
I'll
take half a win.
He gets credit for that.
Maybe. Like, it's like the same type of credit that, like, you know, you get in school when you don't say the right answer. You go, you know, here's five answers, but this is the one I'm going to go with.
You're right. I wrote down A and B, and I switched the Bader. So I did technically get it wrong, but at least I put Embiid's name into the universe.
You did. That was a good job. But
yeah, no, you get full credit. That's the thing about picking Defensive Player of the Week. You get to pick a few guys. So that is a good job there, Zoo. Saquon Barkley. We're going to have Diana Russini come on next hour from The Athletic, who did a podcast with Saquon. Saquon says, I was never going to be a Giant again. But you said something interesting to me. He said that he's enjoyed watching Hard Knocks. So Hard Knocks is about the Giants offseason.
Yeah.
And they've only shown one side. So it's been a sort of disembodied voice of Team Saquon. I actually thought that they were going to get a little upset at this because everything has sort of a management perspective on it.
So he said that it was weird because it was about him, but he watched only the last week's episode because he knew it was going to be about him. So him in it makes it odd, but he liked the inside look at off-season stuff. But
okay.
Otherwise, I mean, he also said, you know, Joe Shane on the show says that last off-season dealing with Saquon took 10 years off his life. And Saquon said to Diana, how do you think it felt for me? It took 10 years off of his life. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. And he said he knew he'd never be a Giant again after Shane called him and said, go test the market and come back to us. He said he never believed that Giants would have matched an offer that they brought back. So in the end, the right decision was made for everybody. Saquon got his money.
Right.
The Giants didn't splurge a luxury buy at running back. So everyone's kind of where they're supposed to be. But for me, believing in how good Saquon is and how important he is, I'm a little bummed that it's ending in a negative way. Because it was going to end. The Giants said they'd try to make it matter how it ended, like that it wasn't too insulting or whatever. But it certainly feels like Saquon's insulted. And fences need to be mended at some point, because at some point he'll have to be not ring of honor or anything like that, but like the end of his time with the Giants didn't befit the way I think he when he was healthy, the way he played on the field.
What if he has a good career with the Eagles, though? Then I think that's going to knock out everything he did with the Giants.
Well, I mean,
what is it, 5 years in New York?
Obviously, he could, especially for team success, he could become, I guess, more connected to Philadelphia. But time usually, like, heals wounds.
Usually.
And people can move away from, like, the business side of it to realize. And he also may benefit from the fact that the Giants can't score points still. And people go, man, we miss Saquon.
Well, I got to tell you, Brett Favre got estranged from the Packers. He joined the Vikings, but he was in Green Bay for 18 years, and eventually they figured it out. Saquon's only been there 5 years. This is, if he could have five more years as an Eagle and say he goes into the Hall of Fame, I don't necessarily think he's on. Yeah. He'd be an Eagle. I mean, the bus, actually, they don't put a hat on the bus like the Baseball Hall of Fame. But I don't think it's a done deal that he comes back as Giant royalty.
No, not Giant royalty, but he's going to be connected to the Giant. Like, he's that good of a, he's not a regular player. Like, he still is a person in Giants history. So he's always going to have some connection to the franchise. And again, it's not Ring of Honor or anything like that, but there's going to be times where his name will be mentioned in connection to the Giants, and how people react to that mention, that connection, will be interesting and is not determined yet.
Definitely. Also, he's going to Philly. He's such a likable guy. Every interview I've seen with him, every time we've met him at the Super Bowl before, he's hard to dislike. We'll talk to Diana Rossini next, who is obviously the person who interviewed Saquon Barkley. She also has a lot of information on Jordan Love's hold-in in Green Bay. We'll get to all of that next right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.